Jack said, "We're deciding where to go." Charles' eyes twinkled.
"Then there's only one real option."
"A little bit of love?"
said Mickey immediately. Jack said, "We've already been there. How about another place? There are three right here on this block."
"But Jackie and Corey haven't seen it."
She turned to her brothers.
"It's full of musical stuff. It's so cool."
"Cool,"
chimed in Jackie. She smiled.
"You want a bit of love, Jackie, huh?"
He jumped up and down.
"Bit of love, bit of love."
He grabbed his dad's leg.
"Bit of love, bit of love."
Corey said, "That was like such a cheap trick, Mickey."
"Jenna does the best Sunday brunch in town, actually," advised Charles. "I was just heading there myself."
"Okay," Jack said in a resigned tone. Jenna smiled when she saw them come in. The place was crowded, but she said,
"I've got a nice window table. Catch some of the breeze from outside. Follow me."
She seated them at the table, handed out menus, and took their drink orders.
"Is Liam around today?"
asked Mickey.
"In the kitchen, grilling. He's turned into quite the short order cook. We'd arranged that I could come by tonight to do a few sets."
Jack looked at her.
"You did?"
She stared back at him and said sharply,
"Yeah, I did. Sitting home all day watching Corey and Jackie isn't exactly how I planned to spend my summer."
"You don't need to watch me," said Corey.
"Yeah," said Jackie.
"Not me."
Jenna looked at Jack and, sensing his distress, said,
"Well, your dad is working really hard on the soundproofing, but it's not done yet. And while you guys sound great together, I do like a little peace and quiet in the evening. But I tell you what, come by around 8. Liam will be home by then, and that's when I take my walk on the beach. I'll be gone about an hour or so. Does that work?" "That's cool, Jenna. Thanks."
Jenna looked at Jack.
"And is that cool with Dad?"
"Yeah," Jack said slowly.
"So where's your Delta buddy?"
she asked.
"Out riding his Harley," answered Corey.
"Ah, well, he better watch himself. I know a few single ladies of a certain age in this town who will snap him up."
"Snap!" cried out Jackie.
After Jenna left, Jack leaned over and whispered to his daughter, "This is strictly music between you and Liam, right?"
"Dad, please."
"Just asking." He turned to Charles. "Bonnie came by to see me."
"She told me she was."
"Did she tell you what about?"
"Yes, I saw her afterward, too. She told me what you two talked about. She told me what you said, and I told her I agreed with you. I don't think that's what she wanted to hear, but so be it."
Mickey, who'd been listening, said,
"What didn't she want to hear?"
"Another time, Mick, not now," said her father, shooting a glance at the boys. Then he added, "Did you have a good visit with her, Mick?"
"She was more laid back than in Arizona,"
Mickey replied.
"There she was like a control freak. Drove me nuts."
Jack turned to Charles.
"I checked out the lighthouse the other night."
"Did you? And how is it looking?"
"Not great, actually."
"It really was something in its day."
"I bet it was," said Jack.
"I bet it was." Chapter 35. After lunch, they were walking back to the van when Charles pointed across the street and said,
"Speak of the devil."
Jack saw where he was pointing. Bonnie and Fred were just entering a gift shop. Mickey walked up beside him and said in a low voice,
"Okay, Dad, what is going on with Grandma? Why is she really here?"
"She just came by to make an offer."
Mickey waited expectantly.
"For us all to go and live with her in Arizona."
"No way. You're not thinking of doing that, are you?"
"No, I'm not."
Mickey was about to say something else when she saw Blake Saunders coming down the street with two beefy young men. They were all wearing mesh football jerseys with Channing High printed on the front.
"Hi,"
said Mickey. Jack looked at her questioningly.
"Blake and I met on the beach when I was going for a run,"
she explained.
"And we've run a few more times together since then."
"Thanks for telling me."
He eyed Blake.
"You look familiar."
Blake looked embarrassed.
I was in the car that almost ran you off the road that day.
The girl's name is Tiffany, and she's super rich. What a shock.
Blake said, I told her to slow down, but she doesn't listen to anyone.
Yeah, I bet.
Blake turned to her. Hey, we're having a little party on the beach next Saturday. I was wondering if you'd like to come out and hang with us. There's food, a bonfire, and we play some tunes. And no alcohol, of course, interjected Jack. No, sir, said Blake right away, though his friends gave goofy grins. Right. She'll have to get back to you on that, sport, said Jack, while Mickey scowled at her father. 9 o'clock, about the midpoint of our run, near where the big yellow house is, he added.
Right.
Okay, hope to see you there. The young men walked off. What was that all about? Demanded Jack. Do you have a boyfriend? A grinning Corey wanted to know. I thought you liked this Liam guy. Mickey's face reddened.
Will you two just knock it off?
That guy doesn't even have an earring and his hair is perfectly normal, said Jack. He's not your type. He's a football player, for God's sake. You hate football players.
Who told you that?
Your mom. She made a big joke out of it because she married a football player.
I think I can decide for myself what my type is,
Mickey said hotly. Well, I'm still your dad, and I don't like the idea of...
Hey, Miracle Man!
Jack jerked around to see where the voice had come from.
Over here, Miracle!
Jack turned to see two large men sitting in the cab of a pickup truck staring at him. One man stuck his head out of the truck.
I need me a miracle. You want to come over here and sprinkle some water on my head?
He waved a $5 bill.
I'm expecting miracles for free. I'll pay good money for it.
Both men burst out laughing. They got out of the truck and leaned against it, their big arms folded over their thick chests. They were dressed in jeans and dirty T-shirts with greasy ball caps on their heads. Their bare arms were covered in tattoos. Corey said fearfully, Dad, it's okay, son. We'll just keep on walking. They passed by the men.
One of them said, Hey, Miracle, you too good to stop for us poor folk?
Mickey whirled around and said,
Grow up, you creeps.
Mickey, Jack snapped, just keep walking.
Yeah, Mickey, mimicked one of the men. Just keep walking, sugar.
Jack stiffened at this remark. He almost turned around, but his kids were with him, and he knew nothing good would come out of a confrontation. Jack said to the kids,
We'll go on down to the beach when we get back, and... Hey, Miracle, was it true your slutty wife was cheating on you with your best bud?
Jack moved so quickly, Corey's hand was still up in the air where it had been clutching his dad's. When Jack rushed at them, the first man threw a punch. Jack ducked it, grabbed the man's hand, ripped it back and then over his shoulder, swung him around and slammed him head first into the truck. When the bloodied man turned back around and charged at Jack, he sidestepped the attack and leveled the guy with a crushing blow to the jaw. The second man slammed into Jack's back, propelling him forward and face first into a lamppost. In the next instant, he'd spun out of the man's grasp, laid a fist into his diaphragm, doubling him over, and then kicked his legs out from under him. Jack's elbow strike to the back of the man's neck sent him down to the pavement, where he stayed, groaning loudly. Jack was bent over, his breaths coming in gasps and blood pouring down his face from where he'd hit the post. As he straightened up and looked around, it seemed like the entire town of Channing was staring back at him. No one moved. No one seemed even to be breathing. As he glanced across the street, he saw Jenna and Liam staring at him from the door to the little bit. When he looked to his left, he saw Bonnie and Fred gawping at him in shock from the entrance to the gift shop. Bonnie looked at Jack, then to the unconscious men, and then back at her bleeding son-in-law.
Daddy!
Jack looked over his shoulder. Jackie was standing on the sidewalk bawling. Corey stood there looking in amazement at his dad, while Mickey glowered contemptuously at the two men lying on the pavement.
Idiots,
she said. Jack quickly piled his kids into the VW and drove off.
Chapter 36. Jack sat at the kitchen table with ice wrapped in a paper towel and held over his left cheek. Dried blood was stuck to his forehead from the impact with the street lamp. When someone knocked on the door, Jack half expected it to be the police.
"Old man and weighty,"
squealed Jackie after he managed to open the door. Jenna and Charles strode in. She was carrying a small bag and sat down next to Jack. She started pulling things out. Sterilized wipes, band-aids, an ice pack, and antibiotic cream.
"What are you two doing here?" asked Jack.
Jenna moved Jack's hand away from his battered face and cleaned up the cuts, applied the ointment, and covered it all with a large band-aid. Charles said,
"We thought you might need a little assistance."
"Those two idiots,"
said Jenna.
"Going off half-cocked like that, probably drunk."
"You know them?" asked Jack.
"They come into the bar every once in a while, but I can't really say I know them."
"They're from Sweat Town," added Charles.
Jenna frowned.
"I despise that term."
"Well, it's not very nice, but I think the residents actually coined it," said Charles.
"What exactly is Sweat Town?"
asked Mickey.
"Other side of the tracks," replied Charles. "Poor side of town. Every coastal area has them. Most of the people who do the actual work around here live there." Jenna said,
"Here's an ice pack. It'll work faster on that swelling."
"Thanks." She closed up her bag, sat back, and studied Jack's face.
"Okay, you should be good to go. You're pretty slick at that,"
said Mickey.
"Just your mom's standard procedure stuff."
Jackie jumped up and down trying to get to her bag of medical supplies. Jenna finally placed a band-aid on his finger and kissed it.
"Now your boo-boo is all gone, too."
She straightened back up and gazed steadily at Jack.
"Looks like you didn't forget your army training. Those weren't small guys, and you put them down pretty fast."
Jack grimaced.
"It was stupid. Never should have happened."
The door opened, and Sammy walked in carrying his motorcycle helmet.
"Had a nice little ride."
When he saw Jack, he exclaimed,
"What the hell happened? You fall off a ladder?"
Jackie yelled, "Daddy, piting!" The little boy did a kick and then swung his fist so hard he fell over.
"Fighting? Who with?" demanded Sammy.
Mickey and Corey both started telling Sammy what had happened. The older man's features turned dark as he listened to them. When they got to the slur that the one man had called Lizzie, Sammy went over to his toolbox and pulled out a crowbar.
"You tell me what they look like and where I can find these maggots."
"No, Sammy," said Jack.
"I'm not letting them get away with this crap," barked Sammy.
"I'll handle it."
"What do you think, I'm too old to take care of myself?"
"That's not the point. You beat them up, your butt will land right in jail." Charles said,
"He's right, Sammy. That's not the way to go about it."
"Uh-oh,"
said Jackie. He was peering out the window into the front yard.
"What is it, Jackie?"
asked his sister. Jackie pointed to the door, his eyes so big they appeared to touch.
"Cop dude,"
he said in a very un-Jackie-like whisper. Then he sped into the next room to hide. Jack looked sternly at his older kids.
"Cop dude? Where did he learn that?"
Mickey looked uncomfortably at the floor. Corey studied the ceiling, his teeth clenched over his bottom lip.
"Great," said Jack stiffly as he rose to answer the door.
The sheriff identified himself as Nathan Tammy. He was a big man with a bluff, serious face and dark curly hair. He took Jack's statement and scratched his chin.
"That pretty much matches up with what other people said happened. But you did go after them."
"He was provoked. They were saying nasty things about our mom,"
exclaimed Mickey.
"What did you expect him to do?"
Jenna said,
"Sheriff, Charles and I saw the whole thing. It's exactly as Mickey said. He was provoked. Anybody would have done what Jack did."
"I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the same thing, Jenna, but I also can't let things like this happen in town without consequences.
I've already told those two boys to back off, and I expect you to hold on to your temper, Mr. Armstrong. If something happens again, you come tell me, and I'll handle it. Do we understand each other? Because if there's a next time, people are going to end up in jail.
I understand.
After the sheriff left, Charles said, "He's a good man, but he also means what he says." He looked at Jenna. "I can drive you back to town."
"Can you give me a minute, Charles?"
A sulking Sammy had gone into another room, and the kids had disappeared. Jenna said to Jack,
"Miracle Man?"
Jack stared at her, the ice pack held to his face. "It's a long story."
"I'm a good listener."
"I appreciate that, Jenna. It's just that..."
"I can tell you're the sort of man who doesn't open up easily, keeps it all inside."
"Maybe we can talk about it. Just not right now."
"Well, you need anything else, just let me know."
She rose to go. "Jenna?" She turned back to see him watching her.
"Yes."
He touched the Band-Aid on his face. "Thanks for coming over. Means a lot." She smiled.
"Only next time I hope I don't have to bring my first aid kit."
Chapter 37. The sound woke all of them. Lights burst on. Jack and Sammy made sure the kids were okay before checking the rest of the house.
"Sounded like a bomb going off," said Sammy, "or a building collapsed."
Jack looked at him quizzically and then said, "Oh, damn." He ran toward the rear of the house.
"Jack, what is it?"
Sammy raced after him. Jack sprinted across the backyard and over to the rocks. He ripped open the door of the lighthouse and stopped. The stairs had collapsed. He shone his light upward. 40 vertical feet of wood had tumbled down. Sammy ran up next to him and saw what he was looking at.
"Hell, weren't you just up there?"
Jack nodded, his gaze still on the fallen structure. Now he couldn't get to the top.
"Close call, boy."
Jack turned to him. "I need to rebuild the stairs."
"What?"
"We can go get the materials tomorrow."
"But we still have to finish some other jobs. And Charles has got some more referrals for us. Lady named Anne Bethune has a big house on the beach. She wants a screen porch enclosed and some other stuff done. Good money."
"I'll do this on my own time."
"Yeah, all your spare time."
"I have to do it, Sammy."
Sammy looked at the jumble of splintered wood. "Gonna be expensive."
"Take it out of my share, and I don't expect you to help." Sammy frowned.
"Since when do we have shares and don't help each other?"
"But this is different, Sammy. I can't expect you to do this, too." Sammy looked at the hand-painted sign next to the door and said quietly,
"We'll take some measurements in the morning, get the materials. We'll do the paying stuff during the day and this after hours, okay?"
"Okay," said Jack. As Sammy turned to go back in the house, he added, "Thanks, Sammy." He turned around.
"Never been married, Jack, but I understand losing somebody, especially someone like Lizzie."
He continued on into the house, and Jack turned to look back at the lighthouse he was now going to rebuild.
"What's all this for?"
Charles asked, as Jack and Sammy finished loading the truck to capacity. He eyed the items in the truck bed.
"Scaffolding, and you've ordered enough wood to build another Noah's Ark." "Had a little accident at the palace," said Sammy,
when it appeared Jack was not going to answer the man's question. Charles looked alarmed.
"Accident? Was anyone hurt?"
"Stairs in the lighthouse fell down," said Jack. "No one was hurt."
"So you're going to rebuild the stairs?"
he asked, looking perplexed.
"Yes," said Jack tersely.
Sammy eyed Charles and shrugged.
"But the light doesn't even work."
"He plans on fixing that, too," replied Sammy.
"But why? It's not registered as a navigational aid anymore."
Jack finished strapping everything down before he looked at Charles and pulled out a sheet of paper and handed it to him. "I found a schematic on the lighting system. I'd appreciate it if you could see if these pieces of equipment could be ordered.
Charles glanced down at the list.
Might take some time, and it won't be cheap.
Jack started to climb into the truck.
Thanks. Sammy gave Charles a helpless look and got in the truck. As they were driving out of town, Sammy said,
Isn't that Bonnie?
Jack looked where he was pointing. It was indeed Bonnie, and she was sitting in a car with a younger man dressed in a suit.
Who's the guy? Asked Sammy.
Never seen him before.
She's a strange bird.
Yeah. Jack glanced back at the woman and then drove on. They unloaded the materials at the palace. Then Sammy took the VW and drove off to meet with Anne Bethune about what she needed done, while Jack continued on to Jenna's house in the truck. Jenna met him at the door. She was still dressed in a robe and slippers.
Sorry about my appearance. The restaurant business isn't 9 to 5. It's more like 10 a.m. to midnight. You want some coffee?
Jack hesitated.
No extra charge,
she said, smiling.
Okay, thanks.
She poured out a cup and brought it down to him in the music room. She watched him work hanging new drywall.
You really know what you're doing.
It's just drywall. Once you know what to do, it's pretty easy.
Right. I can't even hang a picture.
I doubt being a lawyer in D.C. was easy.
Just a bunch of words. Legal gobbledygook.
If you say so.
Jenna sipped her coffee and continued to watch.
Our kids have really hit it off playing music together.
Yeah, Mickey told me.
First time I've seen Liam really take an interest in anyone down here.
He seems like a fine young man, and Mickey's mood is a lot better. That's worth its weight in gold.
He put down his tool and took a sip of coffee. Mind if I ask you a personal question?
She eyed him with mock caution.
Should I be scared?
No.
Then shoot.
Ever think about getting married again?
I've thought about it, sure.
I mean, from what you've said, you've been divorced a while. You're young, well-off, smart and educated, and really pretty.
Can I hire you as my publicist?
I'm serious, Jenna.
She put her cup down, sat, and covered her bare knees with her robe.
There have been some men interested in a permanent relationship with me. Some right here in Channing.
But?
But they weren't the right ones. And I'm a woman who's willing to wait for the real Mr. Right. Especially considering how wrong I got it the first time.
Jack picked up his tool again. Lizzie and I met in high school. We would have celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary this year.
Sounds like you found Mrs. Wright on your first try.
I did, he said frankly.
I suppose that makes the loss that much harder.
It does, but I've got our kids to raise, and I have to do it right for Lizzie.
And you, Jack. You're part of the equation, too.
And me, he said. I hope you find Mr. Wright.
Me too,
said Jenna wistfully as she stared at him. Chapter 38. Sammy turned to Jack and said,
I think it's time to knock off. It's almost midnight.
You go on. I'm just going to finish up a few things.
They were in the lighthouse. After working most of the last 3 days at Ann Bethune's house, Sammy and Jack had eaten a hasty dinner and worked another 4 hours on the lighthouse. They had cleared out all the wood from the collapsed stairs and assembled the scaffolding up to the top platform, which also needed repair. Fresh lumber delivered from Charles Pinckney's hardware store was neatly stacked outside in preparation for the rebuilding process.
Jack, you put in 16 hours today. You need to get some rest.
I will, Sammy. Just another 30 minutes.
Sammy shook his head, dropped his tool belt on the lower level of the scaffolding, stretched out his aching back, and walked slowly to the palace. Jack tightened down some of the scaffolding supports and then climbed up to the top and stepped out onto the catwalk. What he was trying to imagine was how Lizzie, the little girl, would have thought of the view from up here.
Were you scared at first, Lizzie?
Did you think you might fall? Or did you love it the first time you saw it? He stared out at the dark ocean and let the breeze wash over his face. He eyed the sky, looking for the exact spot where little Lizzie had imagined heaven to be perched, and also where her twin sister had gone. And now, where you are, Lizzie. Farther out to sea, he could see ship lights as they slowly made their way across the water. He closed his eyes, and his thoughts carried back to that frozen cemetery 4 days after Christmas, when they'd laid Lizzie into the ground. She was there right now, alone, in the dark. "Don't, Jack," he said. "Don't. Nothing good will come from dwelling on that. Remember Lizzie in life, not like that." He looked to his right and was surprised to see someone walking along the beach. As the person drew closer, Jack could see that it was Jenna. She was holding her sandals in one hand, slowly swinging them as she walked close to the waterline. He looked at his watch. It was nearly 1 a.m. What was she doing out here? She suddenly looked up, and under the arc of moonlight saw him. She waved and started toward the rocks. She called up to him,
"Working late?"
He said, "Just finishing up a few things. Surprised to see you out."
"I sometimes take a walk on the beach after closing down a little bit. Helps to relax me."
She gazed at the lighthouse.
"Heard you were fixing it up."
"Trying," he added. "Guess it seems pretty crazy."
"I think it's a good idea,"
she said, surprising him. "Why?"
"I just think it's a good idea, that's all."
He didn't say anything.
"By the way, you did a great job on the soundproofing. Can't hear a thing. It's raised the quality of my life 1,000%. And I won't have to kill my only child."
"I'm glad I could help."
"Well, I guess I better head back."
Jack looked down the dark beach from where she had come. "Do you want me to walk back with you? It's pretty dark out there."
"No, I'll be fine. It's a safe place. And you look like you have some thinking to do still."
Before he could say anything, she turned and walked off. He slowly climbed back down the scaffolding. When he touched bottom, he passed through the doorway and then turned and looked at the hand-painted sign. "I'm going to get it working," he said. "Lizzie, I promise that this light will work again, and then you can look down from heaven and see it, and maybe see me." Chapter 39.
"Oh, great,"
said Mickey. It was Saturday night, and she was at the beach party Blake Saunders had invited her to. There were lots of people already there, and one of them was Tiffany Murdoch, holding court by the large bonfire that spewed streams of embers skyward. There were quite a few large young men in football jerseys and teenage girls in short shorts, tight skirts, and tighter tops. A catering truck was parked on the road near the beach. Mickey, who'd brought a blanket and a bag of marshmallows, looked on in shock as men and women in white jackets carried trays of food and drinks around to the teens partying on the sand. Blake spotted her and strolled over, a bottle in his hand. "Hey, glad you could make it."
"Never been to a beach party that was catered before,"
she said in a disapproving tone. "I know, but Tiffany's dad is a big football booster and he pays for the party every year."
"So I guess that's why Tiff's here?"
"Oh yeah, the center of attention is always, a real queen bee."
"Bees sting,"
Mickey shot back. "What's in the bag?" he said.
"Nothing,"
she said quickly, hiding the bag of marshmallows behind her. He held up the bottle. "Want a taste?"
"Thanks, but I'll pass."
"It's not alcohol."
"I'll take your word for it."
A little put off, he said, "Well, there's plenty of food and drink. Help yourself and then come join us." He left, and Mickey went to the tables manned by other adults in white jackets. She asked for a Coke. The woman, weathered-looking with stringy gray hair, poured it out for her.
"Thank you,"
said Mickey. The woman looked surprised.
"What?"
asked Mickey. She looked down at her jeans and t-shirt.
"Something wrong? You're not with that group, are you?"
said the woman quietly.
No, we just came down from Ohio for the summer. Why? You said thank you. And that's, like, unusual?
The woman eyed the partygoers.
With some folks, it's apparently impossible. Ohio? Are you see Pinckney's folks? She was my great-grandmother. I'm Mickey. Nice to meet you, Mickey. Miss Pinckney was a fine lady. Sorry she's gone. I take it you live in Channing? All my life, but just not the postcard part. What? You know, the part you see on postcards? I live in the area tourists never see. We can't afford the pretty ocean views. Would that be Sweat Town? So you've heard of it? Somebody told me. Sounds like where we lived in Cleveland. What's your name? Folks call me Fran. It was nice talking to you, Fran. Same here, honey.
She turned away to serve someone else. Troubled by what Fran had told her, Mickey strolled around the pockets of people, many of whom were already wasted. The boys looked at her with lust, the girls with hostility.
Why did I come? Well, look who we have here.
Inwardly groaning, Mickey closed her eyes and then opened them. Things were about to get worse. Tiffany stood in front of her, swaying slightly, plastic cup filled with beer in hand. She had on a string bikini bottom with a mesh cut-off jersey that barely covered her chest.
What's your name again?
Between gritted teeth, she said,
Mickey. Oh, like Mickey Mouse.
Tiffany giggled and looked around at the others and made an exaggerated bow.
Mickey Mouse, people.
Laughter swept through the ranks of the partiers. A nervous-looking Blake ran up and put his arm around Tiffany's bare waist. Hey, Tiff, let's go get something to eat.
Not hungry,
said Tiffany with a pout. Mickey could sense this was her method of getting what she wanted, putting her thick lips together and acting like a 2-year-old. Mickey looked at the beer and then eyed Tiffany's red convertible parked by the catering truck.
Hope you're not the designated driver. I can be anything I want,
Tiffany replied, a coy smile on her face. Blake pulled on her arm. Come on, Tiff, let's get some food. You don't want to piss off your dad again, remember?
Shut up,
snapped Tiffany. She looked at Mickey.
I hear you and Blake have been running together on the beach. Yeah, so? I was just surprised. Why's that?
Mickey asked, a hard edge to her voice.
I didn't think he liked hanging out with freaks.
Mickey eyed the other girl's scant clothing.
You know, next time, you might want to consider something that actually comes close to covering your big butt. Shut up. Okay, I'm leaving now.
Mickey turned to walk away.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
Tiffany grabbed her shoulder. Mickey's arms and legs seemed to move of their own accord. Her hand clamped like a vise on the other girl's wrist. Mickey spun the arm behind Tiffany's back, jerked upward, angled one of her feet in front of Tiffany's legs, and gave a hard shove from behind. The next moment, Tiffany was lying face down in the sand, her mesh top up around her head. Blake looked at her in amazement. How'd you do that? He asked Mickey. Mickey looked down at her hands as if they belonged to someone else.
My dad taught me.
They both looked down at Tiffany, who was spitting out sand and crying. Other people were walking toward them.
I'm out of here,
said a panicked Mickey. She turned, pushed past some folks, and raced off. As she passed by Fran, the woman winked at Mickey and raised a serving spoon in silent salute. Chapter 40. Hurrying down the beach, Mickey collided with someone who appeared ghost-like out of the darkness.
Liam?
The tall, gangly Liam had on a hoodie and sweatpants.
What are you doing here?
She asked breathlessly. Walking? What about you? He looked over her shoulder in the direction of the party Mickey had just left. Tiffany's party? Don't tell me you've gone over to the dark side, he said with a grin.
It was stupid,
admitted Mickey. Well, if you want to come with me, I'll show you a much better party.
What?
But I have to warn you,
They don't have caterers.
How do you know Tiffany's party was catered?
Because my mom did it for a couple of years until little Tiffany demanded alcohol be served. Then my mom told old man Murdoch where to stick it.
Good for her.
Yeah, funny. For some reason after that, I never got invited to her little shindig. Well, enough about the rich and the spoil. Let's get going. He started to walk off and Mickey hurried after him.
Where to?
Like I said, a better party. The breakers crashed on the beach, providing a slow, melodious chorus to their footsteps slapping against the hard, wet sand. The sounds and the lights reached them about a quarter of a mile down the beach.
Is that the better party?
She asked. Yep. As they drew closer, the scene became clearer. The bonfire was full and the flames high. Girls and guys sat around the fire holding out sticks with hot dogs and marshmallows riding on their points. Mickey could hear a guitar strumming and sticks popping on a drum pad. Laughter and whoops amid the crash of waves. There were a few couples making out, but most were just hanging out, talking and dancing. Hey, Liam, said one guy as he approached them. Everyone was hoping you'd make it. He handed them each a long stick. Dogs are cooking. They joined the crowd. Mickey could see a few football jerseys, but most were dressed in jeans and t-shirts. There were no designer labels in sight. Everyone greeted Liam with high fives, chest bumps, and knuckle smacks.
Pretty popular guy,
Mickey remarked. Nah, the guys think my mom is hot, and the girls want jobs at the little bit. They're just looking to use me. Mickey laughed.
So do all of you go to high school together?
Yeah, but most of these kids are from Sweat Town, which I find a lot more palatable than Tiffany's mansion crowd. Liam eyed the two guys playing the guitar and the drum pad. He looked at Mickey. Want to really get this party cooking? She instantly got his meaning.
Oh, let's so do it.
They played for nearly 30 minutes while the crowd whooped and cheered. Mickey sang parts of a song she was working on and that the crowd really got into, even chanting back parts of the lyrics. Then Mickey grabbed the drumsticks and showed herself to be nearly as adept at drums as she was at guitar. Even Liam looked at her in amazement when she finished her set. She explained,
When I formed my band, I learned every instrument. I'm sort of a control freak.
Afterward, they roasted some hot dogs. When someone started playing tunes off a portable CD player, Liam said, Hey, you want to do some sand dancing?
What's that?
It's really complicated. It's dancing in the sand in your bare feet. She smiled.
I think I can manage that.
He put both arms around her waist, and she put her hands on his shoulders. They moved slowly over the beach.
Feels sort of cool,
Mickey said.
On the feet.
She added quickly. Me too, he said, grinning. Okay, now it's time for the old tradition of sand angels. Now that's...
Let me guess.
She plopped down on her back in the sand and moved her arms and legs up and down. Liam joined her. Wow, brains and beauty. As the music played on, they danced and grew closer.
This is really nice, Liam.
Yeah, it is. She cupped his chin with her hand. Mickey? He said questioningly. She kissed him and then stepped back.
I had a great time, Liam. Thanks for bringing me.
Anytime. I'm working the late shift this coming week at the Little Bit. Come on down, and I can get you anything you want for free.
How can you do that?
I'm the cook. Ain't nothing happening without me. Mickey laughed. You need a way home? He asked.
I actually rode a bike I found at the house. Left it up on the street. It's not that far.
I've got a bike, too. I'll ride with you. It's on my way.
You don't have to do that.
I know. I want to. He paused, looking embarrassed. I mean...
I know what you mean,
she said softly. He saw her safely to her house, waved, and rode off. When she walked in the house, her dad called out to her from the darkened front room. So... he said. She came forward, squinting in the poor light to see him. He was on the couch looking at her.
So what?
Have fun?
Yeah, just at a different party.
She told her dad about the evening. Sounds like you made the right choice.
She sat down next to him.
So, how's the lighthouse coming? You've really been spending a lot of time on it.
He looked down. I know it must seem strange.
Dad, it doesn't seem strange. Okay, maybe a little.
She amended with a smile.
But you said the reason we came down here was so you could spend more time with us, remember? But you and Sammy work all the time, and I'm stuck watching Corey and Jackie.
Jack's head dropped lower with this comment. It's just, I don't know, it's complicated, Mickey, really complicated. Mickey rose. In a disappointed tone, she said,
Yeah, I guess it is.
But I'll try to get better. Maybe we can do something next weekend? She brightened.
Like what?
Jack said lamely, I haven't thought of it yet. Her face fell.
Right. Sure. Good night.
As she headed up the stairs to bed, Jack started to call after her, but then he stopped and just sat there in the dark. Neither one of them noticed Sammy standing at his bedroom door listening to their exchange. The former Delta Force member went into his room, picked up his cell phone, and made a call. Chapter 41. As Mickey was running on the beach a few days later, Blake joined her. He said immediately, Look, I'm sorry about what happened at the party. Tiff was wasted.
Gee, really?
She's usually not that obnoxious.
Give me a break. She's a freaking nightmare in a G-string.
Okay, maybe she is. Where'd you end up?
Another party on the beach.
What party?
One Liam Fontaine took me to. And most of the people there were from Sweat Town. Heard of it?
Mickey, I live in Sweat Town. This stunned her so much she stopped running.
What?
My mom works as the housekeeper for the Murdochs.
Then why do you hang out with Tiffany?
Like I said, my mom works for them.
And what, that obligates you to do her bidding?
Blake laughed nervously. I don't do her bidding. I just hang out with her sometimes. They started running again.
Well, good for you. Who you hang out with says a lot about a person.
Hey, what's wrong with me being friends with her? Are you saying poor people can only hang out with other poor people?
No, of course I'm not saying that.
I have a lot of friends in Sweat Town. I play football with a bunch of them. And I go to Tiffany's and she has cool stuff and I have fun with her, so what?
Look, do what you want.
Well, what I want is to go out with you. This time Blake stopped running, forcing Mickey to do the same. So how about it? Will you go out with me?
Why?
Why? Because I like you.
You don't really know me.
Which is a perfect reason to go out, to get to know each other better. But hey, if you're not interested, forget it. Have a good one, and I'm sorry I don't fit your idea of a perfect person. Maybe Liam does. He started to jog off in the other direction.
Wait a minute.
He stopped as she walked over to him.
What exactly do you want to do on this date?
What?
The plan, Blake. I need to know the parameters of what you're talking about. I'm not looking to run into a crowd of rich people again and have to kick somebody's butt. Unless it's Tiffany's. I actually enjoyed that.
It's nothing like that. There's a coffee bar in town. They play music at night, nothing live. But they have a DJ who's really good. I thought we could go and listen to some tunes, dance, and chill out, that's all. She considered this.
That sounds okay, but just dancing and listening to tunes?
He eyed her closely. Why? You got something else going?
No, I just...
Liam?
That's none of your business.
She said hotly. Okay, okay, you're right. Look, I've got my license. I can pick you up tomorrow night around 7.
I'll check with my dad, but I think that'll be okay.
Good, said Blake. Glad we got that settled. Want to finish the run? She grinned and pushed him backward over a bump in the sand. He fell sprawling on his backside.
Catch me if you can,
she called out as she sprinted off, laughing. He jumped up and raced after her. Chapter 42. I'm hungry, Jack, so let's go. They were parked on the street in Channing. Sammy was eyeing Jenna's restaurant, but Jack didn't seem to want to budge.
It's not like this is the only place to eat in town, Sammy.
Sammy opened his door.
You just need to get over it.
Over what?
Sammy snapped.
She's just a nice lady who's trying to be friends with you, and you won't give her the time of day because you feel guilty about Lizzie.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm nice to her.
Great. If that's the way you want it, I'm gonna eat. Stay here if you want.
Sammy slammed the truck door and went inside a little bit of love. Jack sat there brooding, his fingers tapping against the steering wheel. Finally, he climbed out of the truck and followed Sammy inside. His friend was tucked in a corner, already studying his menu. Jenna wasn't at the hostess stand, so Jack wandered back and sat down across from Sammy. The older man handed him a menu.
Figured your empty belly would bring you to your senses.
Jack took the menu, glanced at it, and then dropped it on the table.
I don't know what you expect from me.
I don't expect anything from you.
Well, something's clearly bugging the crap out of you. Sammy dropped his menu, too.
Okay, man, let's hash this out. When's the last time you played with Jackie or Corey or said two words to Mickey?
I talked to Mickey about stuff just the other night.
I know you did, because I was there listening. But what exactly has changed? You work all day, and then you work on that damn lighthouse all night. It's not healthy, Jack. You planning on having any fun ever again?
Jack stared hard at his friend. What makes you think I deserve to have any fun ever again?
You have killed yourself, clawing your way back from a death sentence. And for what? To be miserable the rest of your life?
Jack picked up the menu.
You're making it way too simple.
And you're making it way too complicated. You got kids, Jack. They need you.
I'm busting my ass to support them.
Is that all?
What do you mean?
The only reason you're busting your ass because of them?
I know I haven't exactly been the perfect father. My daughter has already reminded me of that.
She does that because she cares about you, and hell, she's damn near 16. She probably wants to spend her time down here doing something other than watching her two kid brothers all day.
She went to a party on the beach. She plays music with that Liam kid.
Okay, fine. Excuse me for giving a damn.
Jack's anger evaporated with this last comment.
You're right. It's not enough to support my kids. I have to be there for them.
Sammy looked surprised and relieved.
Well, hallelujah. Maybe after all that work on the lighthouse, you're finally seeing it.
What?
The damn light!
But Jack wasn't listening to him anymore. He was thinking about something else Sammy had said. She's damn near 16. The date popped into Jack's head. Her birthday, coming up fast, and it was a big one.
You guys ready to order?
Jack looked up to see a waitress standing next to their table.
What?
The woman smiled and tapped the menu.
This is a restaurant, and that's a menu. I just took it on faith that you might want to order some food. I'll take care of these two, Sally,
said a voice. Jenna walked up.
They could be trouble,
she added with a coy smile.
Okay, boss.
Sally walked off. Sammy looked at her and grinned.
So, tell me the specials.
Now, Mr. Duvall, you know that everything on the menu is special, and you've eaten most of it.
Jack looked at Sammy in surprise.
You have?
Sammy said defensively.
I get hungry. Just because you don't eat doesn't mean I have to do the same.
How about our famous pork barbecue sandwich with fried onion rings and slaw on top? It's hell on the arteries, but you're guaranteed to die with a smile on your face.
Sounds good, said Sammy.
He stared at Jack.
Make it two. And make sure you put a smiley face on his. Might improve the man's mood.
He winked at Jenna. She said,
Well, I wanted to talk to you about something anyway, Jack. Let me put your order in and I'll be right back.
She walked off and returned a minute later, drawing up a chair.
I'll get to the point. Your daughter would like to waitress here, and I want to hire her.
What? Said Jack. She didn't tell me about it.
Sammy said testily,
She wanted to,
but it's not like you've been around.
Jack ignored this and looked at Jenna. Waitress?
It's an honest profession, and I pay a fair wage.
Jack glanced at Sammy. I'll have to get someone to watch the boys. Jenna said,
I actually thought of that. The lady you're doing work for, Ann Bethune, she runs a summer camp at her place. It's right on the beach. The boys could go there. They'd have a great time.
Sammy said, I've gotten to know Ann, and I saw how the camp was set up. They'll love it.
But I don't really know the woman.
She's the principal at the local elementary school, Jack. She has two kids of her own. In fact, when I first moved here, I put Liam in the camp and he had a blast. She has qualified people helping her, too.
Sammy added, so that way Mickey can work here during the day, earn some money, get out of the house, have a life. Jenna added,
and she gets her meals free. I think it'll be good for her.
How much does the camp cost?
Now that's the interesting thing, said Sammy. I'm doing some extra work for her on the side, and Ann agreed to let the boys come there in exchange for it.
Sammy, you didn't have to do that.
Like hell I didn't. They need to have some fun, too.
Jack looked between Jenna and Sammy.
Why do I sense this was all planned out? Sammy snapped, You got a good reason not to do it?
Well, no. It actually sounds like a great idea.
Okay, then, so what's the problem?
Jack locked gazes with Sammy for a long moment before finally looking away. Okay, fine. Sammy slapped the table.
There you go. That wasn't too hard, was it? Now, Jenna, can you add two beers to our order? I feel the need to celebrate.
Jenna went off to do this while Jack pretended to go to the restroom. Instead, he followed Jenna. Can I talk to you about something? She looked at him in surprise.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, he said quickly. I just need to ask you about something.
Look, Jack, I know it seemed like we ganged up on you about the camp and Mickey working here, but...
He smiled. I actually really appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, Sammy. It was his idea. You got a good friend in that man.
You're right, I do. He looked at her. And a good friend in you, too. This comment seemed to catch Jenna off guard.
It's not that...
She stopped in mid-sentence and looked away, flustered. Jack said, I know I've been a little unfriendly with you, and I'm sorry. She quickly looked back at him.
You don't have to apologize, Jack. In my book, you've done nothing wrong. So what did you want to ask me?
I don't want to do it now. What time would be good later?
I can get away from here around 9.
I can pick you up here, drive you home.
That's fine. Liam has his license. He can drive the car back.
I'll see you then. Chapter 43. The cafe was crowded, and Blake and Mickey got as close to the DJ as possible. The tunes were already blasting, and people were dancing. Blake and Mickey got Cokes from the bar and settled into a corner to watch and listen.
You look really good, Blake said.
Mickey had on jean shorts, flip-flops, a white sleeveless blouse, and a pair of earrings her mother had given her for her 14th birthday. Her hair was tied back in a ponytail, and she'd washed the latest color out of the strands. Her skin had tanned, and her face glowed. Blake had on jeans and a long-sleeved shirt worn out with the sleeves rolled up. She eyed him.
You don't look so bad either.
He laughed. Thanks a lot. Want to dance?
Okay.
They hit the dance floor and spent a half hour getting sweaty and out of breath as they jostled next to kids doing the same thing. After another couple hours of listening to the music, things started to wind down. Blake said, How about a walk on the beach? Nice night.
Okay, but remember what I did to Tiffany.
She held up her hands in a pseudo-martial arts pose. Blake laughed. I'm not messing with you or your dad. They strolled along the sand. Mickey took her flip-flops off and carried them in one hand. Her free hand touched Blake's, and he wrapped one of his fingers around one of hers. At first she pulled back, but a moment later they were holding hands.
They reached an isolated section of beach where tall dunes were covered with lush, tangled vegetation. Blake said, "I guess we better head on back."
"Okay."
He turned to her. She faced him.
"This was nice."
"Not just saying that?"
"No, I'm not."
"Most girls are easy to read, but not you."
"I get that a lot."
He grinned, cupped her chin with his hand. He dipped his head to hers. She pulled back. He looked annoyed. "What's wrong? You've kissed before, right?"
"Of course I have,"
she said heatedly.
"I'm almost 16.
"So what's the problem?"
"There's no problem."
She grabbed him by the neck and planted a kiss on him. When they pulled apart, he exclaimed, "Wow, okay, that was cool." However, from Mickey's look, the kiss had not had the same effect on her. In fact, she looked a little guilty.
"Let's get back,"
she said hurriedly. They'd only walked a few feet when Blake said, "What was that?" He turned around and stared at the dunes.
"What was what?"
Then the sound came again. Something was moving through the dunes.
"What is it?"
Mickey asked, her fingers closing around Blake's wrist. "I don't know, but something's up there."
"Maybe a dog or a cat?"
Another sound. Mickey said,
"That's not a dog or cat. That was someone talking, Blake. Let's just get out of here."
"Hold on. There's something weird going on here. I think I recognize that voice." He called out, "Dookie? Dookie, is that you?"
"Who's Dookie?"
"Left tackle on the football team. Big and dumb. I don't know what he'd be doing here." He looked around. "Look, just hang here a sec. I'll be right back."
"Blake, don't go up there."
"Just hang on, I'll be right back." He scooted toward the mounds of sand and quickly disappeared into the darkness. Mickey stood there looking anxiously around. There was no moon tonight, and it was hard to tell where the water ended and the land began.
"Blake,"
she whispered harshly, but there was no answer. She moved closer to the dunes.
"Blake?"
Hands came out of nowhere and grabbed her. She tried to scream, but something clamped over her mouth. As she looked frantically around, she saw that all the people around her were wearing Halloween masks, dark, gruesome ones. Somebody put duct tape across her mouth. Another bound her hands behind her back. She jerked and pulled and fell down. Hands held her against the sand. Something was poured over her hair. Someone covered her eyes, and she felt something being sprayed on her clothes. She kept jerking and trying to scream. Tears poured down her face. Someone yelled, and then there was a loud grunt. Suddenly, whoever was holding her down fell over hard. The crowd abruptly moved away from her. Mickey sat up and struggled to see what was going on. As her eyes focused, she saw Liam hitting one of the masked people, and the person crumpled. Someone jumped on Liam's back, but he whirled around and threw the attacker off. As the person hit the sand, the mask popped off, and Mickey saw Tiffany Murdoch staring at her. Mickey managed to get the rope off her hands and tore the duct tape off her mouth as another, larger person in a mask hit Liam and knocked him down. Two others jumped on top of him. Then another guy roughly pulled those two off and straddled Liam. Mickey leapt up, raced across the sand, and jumped on top of the guy, pulling his head backward, her nails raking his face. He yelled something and pushed her off as he twisted away and fell down. Then he jumped to his feet, his mask askew. Sitting on her butt in the sand, Mickey looked up in disbelief.
"Blake?"
He rubbed the scratch marks on his face, turned, and ran. Mickey saw him grab Tiffany's hand, and they raced off toward the dunes. Mickey tore her gaze away from them in time to see the remaining guy drive his foot into Liam's stomach. She scooped up some sand, jumped up, ripped off the guy's mask, and threw the sand in his eyes. He yelled and started jumping around, clawing at his eyes. She pushed him backward, and he fell, then picked himself up and staggered after the others. Mickey raced over to Liam, who lay face down in the sand holding his stomach.
"Oh my God, Liam, are you okay?"
He slowly sat up, breathing hard.
She wiped the sand off his face and clothes.
Wow, you really know how to party, he said, grinning weakly.
What are you doing here?
She asked. Just got off work, was taking a stroll to wind down before I drove home. Then I heard some weird stuff and saw some people behind that dune. Then you two came walking by. When they jumped you, I came flying in.
You were watching us? Then you saw...
Hey, no big deal. I'm just glad you're okay. He rose gingerly. Come on, I'll drive you home. Mickey didn't move.
I'm sorry, Liam.
Sorry for what?
It wasn't nearly as cool as when you and I kissed.
He looked down, his fingers clenching as though looking for the comfort of his drumsticks. Really?
Absolutely, really.
She stood.
You were really brave to do that. You saved me.
Jerks. He looked at her and drew in a quick breath. Damn.
What?
Your hair and your clothes. She looked down at her clothes. They were spray-painted red along with her exposed skin. She touched her hair. It was sticky and clumped and smelled like rotten eggs.
Jerks,
she said. She looked in the direction of the dunes.
Blake was part of it. I can't believe I was that stupid.
So were you on a date with him? I mean, that's cool. He's the quarterback, not a bad-looking guy either.
It was a mistake,
she said, gripping his arm.
For a lot of reasons. And he set me up. I bet it had to do with me beating up Tiffany at the beach party.
Liam looked shocked. You beat up Tiffany? You didn't tell me that.
Well, she had it coming.
He laughed and then grabbed his ribs.
Are you sure you're okay?
She said worriedly, as she put a hand around his waist to support him. As their bodies touched, they looked at each other. She said,
I'm really gross right now, Liam.